Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Deontay Burton, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Hamadou Diallo.
Hey, I'm Danilo Gallinari.
I'm Chris Paul, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Luke Dort, and I'm down to Dort.
What's Dort?
I'm not going to lie. I don't know what that was.
In English, bro.
I'm Darius Baisley, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I'm Steven Adams.
I'm Andre Robertson, and I'm down to dunk.
Yeah. On you.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schleck. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me today, I've got Mikkelly Barrett, as always, and special guest, Fred Katz.
Long time no talk, guys. I haven't chatted in forever.
If you are interested in the NBA draft, we are going over NBA draft stuff for Wizards After Dark. Maybe you watched the feed. Maybe you're on the feed. I don't know. Not sure. If you're watching right now on Periscope or YouTube, please leave us a comment and we'll go over it. So we are going to talk about fake trades. And our guy, Mikkelly Barrett, has come up with several fake Chris Paul trades that are sure to happen. I think he talked to Sam Presti before this, and this is Sam said, this is exactly what I want. This is what I want for my life.
Exactly.
Mikkelly said, well, you know what? I'll hop up on YouTube and Periscope and tell everybody about it. So
exactly. These are real possibilities that I'm sure Presti has discussed. And I have sources internally. And so this is exactly what those trades are. And so let's start to make Fred comfortable. Let's start with the Wizards. I think you had something of a trade in one of your recent articles at The Athletic, and I'm not sure this is identical. I don't think so. But so I wanted to get the Wizards not just Chris Paul, but another player. So the trade is OKC gets John Wall, Thomas Bryant, Ish Smith, 2020 pick, and a 2021 swap. Washington gets Chris Paul, Dennis Schroeder, and Terrence Ferguson. Ferguson will be on every trade, probably.
Kelly, this is how you know this is sourced information, is that we're getting
exactly.
Man, that's, you know, I think I would do that if I were the Wizards.
I think you better if you're the Wizards, right?
Yeah, I mean, the swap.
Yeah, do you want John Wall's contract if you're the Thunder? I mean, that's the big question, right?
The swap is interesting because it might not matter.
Yeah,
but it might not matter in a different way than like the Thunder is so interesting because the Rockets swap might not matter because the Thunder and the Rockets might both be good. Mm-hmm. And so, but like the Thunder might be 22 and the Rockets might be 24. Mm-hmm. And the Wizards one might not matter because the Thunder might be 4 and the Wizards might be 2. Or the Thunder might be 2 and the Wizards might be 4. Like the swap might not even matter in the other direction, which just shows how volatile OKC's future is. I think I'd do it. So I wrote earlier, the one that I included in my story earlier this week where I like went through a bunch of Twitter trades that followers tweeted at me and kind of evaluated them was someone tweeted at me, Wall and the Wizards have the number 9 pick along with the Chicago second round pick. They have the 37 pick in the second round for Chris Paul. And and I think Paul is the upgrade at point guard. Because even if Wall was healthy, Paul is the upgrade at point guard. And you also have to pay another first rounder to be able to take on that extra year. Because Wall has 3 years left on the Supermax and Paul has 2. So I thought the Wizards would have to give up two first rounders. But taking back Schroeder in that.
Maybe 2021, the swap is bad. Maybe just straight up give the 2020 first pick.
So you might have to give up 2020 and 2022.
But if you do it after the draft, you actually can trade 2021 immediately. Right. That was part of the idea. I was torn between swap and the actual pick. One of the reasons I am not so down on a trade between the Wizards and the Thunder, I see it as if Wall is not good, just flat out not good, this will not change the draft outlook of OKC. Not dramatically. They will be bad anyway. And probably he will be on his way out in the future. If he's good, then you're talking about 2 years, not three, because one is already almost done. And maybe you can trade and get another asset, like the Chris Paul trade. But you're right. Maybe two first-round picks are actually better here. But I think that you can do a trade where you don't just give Chris Paul. Because even if you have Chris Paul in Washington, this doesn't really change the outcome to me. Yeah. Like, you are a borderline playoff team in the East. Mm-hmm. Because you have, like, a lot of problems. For, like, OKC was successful. But if you take away Dennis Schroeder, you take away Gallo, OKC does not make the playoff. And even with those players, you needed an extremely great season in the clutch of Chris Paul. I don't know if that is replicable in the future.
This is such a bad, bad, bad deal for John Wall's career. Like, period.
Yeah.
Because the Thunder are not... they wouldn't trade for him with the idea of, let's help John Wall's career. Let's see what we can do for him. I mean, maybe good, but if you do that, I feel like it's to the detriment, because John Wall's a guy that needs the ball in his hands. He's not going to be Chris Paul and, like, fade off ball and, like, let's let these guys handle the ball for a little while. It's not going to be that. John Wall is like the offense. He's the engine of an offense if he's on top of his game. And so I worry about that kind of deal for the Thunder and what they're wanting to do. I mean, it would almost be preferable that John Wall is no good.
Yeah. I don't know. Among the trades, this is probably one where OKC gives up too much. But something like that will be proposed, I think. Yeah. Because you should at least entertain some talks between the two. And if the salary cap stays the same, probably there will be less urgency to do a trade like that, because, like, many more options will be open. But if it shrinks a bit, then Washington could be one of the possibilities, period. And you just have to talk with them and see if a trade makes sense. So this is a no for OKC. The second trade is with the Golden State Warriors. There are three trades with the Golden State Warriors that may or may not include Chris Paul. The first one is OKC gets 2021 Minnesota pick with a swap. So it is something... this is very interesting. Andrew, can you please judge the trade on a serial scale?
Yes, for sure. Last one is... probably Cheerios. Like, it's interesting only if you can throw me some blueberries.
Like another pick, an extra pick?
Yeah. Make it a real pick and not the pick swap. And then interested. That's my blueberry.
Let's say just two Cheerios, first round picks. Okay. The second trade is you get the Minnesota pick. Just like it is. And you get Andrew Wiggins, Looney, and salary filler, like whoever 1.5 million salary Golden State wants to give you, and you just trade Chris Paul. This is simple. This works because OKC has like 36 million going his way and Golden State 41. So
the 2020 pick, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the Minnesota pick.
So that's the 2021 top three protected. And yeah, that's so they have Minnesota's pick they got in the Wiggins deal, which is 2021. Yeah. And then that rolls over into unprotected in 2022.
Exactly. Yes.
That's interesting. I have to say, I think the Wiggins deal is so much worse than the Chris Paul deal that I might need a couple blueberries too from OKC. Like,
really?
That's a good, you know what? I take it back. I don't think that's going to be the best deal that that you're going to put forward. That's my anticipation. That if all the deals that you're going to put forward today were on the table for OKC, I don't think that's going to be the best deal, because I just think from a negotiation standpoint, you can get more out of whoever's giving up that Wiggins deal. Like, they downgraded from the D'Angelo Russell contract, which is not desirable, to the Andrew Wiggins one. And they got Minnesota's top three protected first round pick, which turns into unprotected when Minnesota is in the middle of such a rebuild that they literally got the first overall pick this year. And they gave away a pick to get out of that. When Wiggins, by the way, was playing really well at the start of the year, and people thought, oh, they might be able to trade him. So I think, you know what, I'll phrase it this way. My critique of that trade is not necessarily with the value that's coming back. It's just with the actual negotiation tactic. Like, I think if you're getting Andrew Wiggins, it's one of the very few situations where OKC would be in a position of power with the Chris Paul trade, because they are the ones actually giving up the better deal. And I think if the Warriors are doing that deal, they're going all in on this roster to try to win right now. Steph Curry is 32 years old. I think it's reasonable that they could get a second pick.
First rounder, or the 22nd rounder?
I think it's reasonable they could get a second first-round pick. Maybe not the number two pick this year, but I think it's reasonable they could get Golden State's, like, 2023.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. See, that's if that's possible, whoo boy. I mean, that's Cinnamon Toast Crunch, like, all the way. Even to me, even without the pick, for a few reasons. One, Andrew Wiggins is not going to affect winning, right?
Yeah.
He's just a dude out there. If you need just a block of 20 points, that's not going to help you win games. Boom, there he is. You know what? He's going to score points. Is it going to affect winning? No. You get a crack at two top 10 picks in the 2021 draft. That's a big, big deal. If you can come away with two top 10 picks in a draft that people are saying has eight total franchise-changing players. Now, people are saying that today. You get to the draft, is that the same case? I don't know. But if you get a crack at two of them, that to me is, you already have Shea, and you add two guys in a draft that people think is very good. Like, that's how you just accelerate this rebuild like crazy. And then you still have so many picks in the future. I like that. I would do it. And if Fred, I hear what you're saying, but I mean, to me, it's Cinnamon Toast Crunch even without the second pick. I mean,
to be clear, if they do that deal, if that's the only one they have on the table, like, I would so much rather do that than just let the deal run out. Let the Chris Paul deal run out. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I'd so much rather do that. I also think that there is, there's a lot of risk, I think. I think maybe more than what people say. I think there's a lot of risk in them holding on to Chris Paul beyond this offseason.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of risk.
It's like an immense risk.
Not just health-wise, by the way, and not just age-wise, where he could just be worse because he's older. Mm-hmm. I mean, also because of the fact that Chris Paul situations tend to be great in year one. Like, the Chris Paul situation, the Clippers was great in the beginning. Chris Paul situation, Houston was great in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Year two, there tends to be a little bit of the Chris Paul downturn. And right now you're trading Chris Paul when he's the culture changer and the clubhouse leader, and you have as much leverage as you possibly can in a Chris Paul trade if you're OKC. And if things go a little bit south, that leverage goes away. Like, no way can you be talking about this the way I was just talking about it, which maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you guys are right. Maybe like the Wiggins and the Paul, maybe Paul's just so expensive that like there's no way you can get multiple picks for him in that deal. But I just think Wiggins might be literally the one exception. Although John Wall might, I should probably say the same thing with the John Wall trade too, if I'm saying it about Wiggins.
Yeah, the point is here, I mean, I think I was reaching a little bit too high because I think that the Minnesota pick is probably the best asset that is out there, even better than Golden State. Current pick, like the 2020 pick,
which is,
by the way, the version number B of the trade. You don't include Looney, and you just sign the 2020 pick, which is around 8-9 million, and you do the trade with Wiggins plus 2020 pick. You get to choose the player if there is someone that you like, and you can
who do you choose, Mikhaly?
For OKC,
yeah.
If it's there, LaMelo, and it's not even close. No,
LaMelo's gone. He's number one pick. He's gone. Who do you take?
Oh.
Don't owe me. He could be the number one pick. Come on.
Oh, my God. Put Anthony Edwards and let him play with Andrew Wiggins.
Oh.
Let Andrew Wiggins teach Anthony Edwards. This is who you're going to be in a few years. Just look at me.
The issue is that you don't, in this scenario, you're not the one who really choose the pick.
Mm-hmm.
And because
you are though, Mikhaly, we're talking about fake trades.
Okay. Suppose that I am. I have full, I think I would try to trade back for real.
And get an asset and get who? Just give me a name. That's what I'm asking for. I'm asking for a name of a human.
I'm fine getting Haliburton with pick number 5 or Killian Hayes with pick number 6 or
okay. So I just want to point out
if I have to pick second and I have to, it's and LaMelo is not there, is James Wiseman.
I do want to point out that Mikhaly created a fake trade, then read us the B version of the fake trade.
I have
then told us, then told us that he didn't like the B version of the fake trade, turned it into a 3-team trade on the spot, and then refused to tell us if the 3-team trade was with Cleveland or Chicago.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay. I do have a question.
I don't have Chicago trades. I think I could have done at least one with Chicago. You can come up with one.
Yeah, you can use Levine's salary.
Here's my question about Haliburton.
Part ways.
Mikhaly, what do you think about this? Do you think that, so to me, I don't know if SGA is a primary ball handler. Is Haliburton a primary ball handler?
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
It's not. But
you're sure that SGA is?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that is the question that I have about those two, because I like the pairing as long as one of them can take the lead.
I think that if you want to maximize Shea, this is the way you should go.
Okay.
You have to give him the ball and you have to make him an attack first point guard who will create from the dribble, and you force him to be a playmaker. And like Jimmy Butler is not a playmaker generally speaking, but he is the leading guard of that team. Mm-hmm. And with the off-ball movement, with the shooting, and I'm comparing Jimmy Butler to Shea, so this isn't fair today, even if Shea is way better than what Jimmy was in year two. But this is a player that can play in a similar way. He's not your creator, but you have a system in place that allows him to be the guy who has the ball in his hands the most. And Haliburton is perfect for that because he can be a secondary passer, an extremely good shooter. I trust the shot, and he can be an okay defender. So I really think that the pairing works. Taking him at 2, well, if you don't get an asset, who cares? Just take the guy that you think will be the best player. Wiseman, I don't know. I saw two games. I watched the entire games that he played at Memphis carefully. Yeah, what I see, I like. I mean, he can be a very good rim protector with probably the upside to do way more, but it's just like a shot in the dark. I've seen like 4 or 5 games of LaMelo. I think I know him a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I don't want Anthony Edwards. And if he turns out to be the best guard of this class, well, I will die on this island. Mm-hmm. It's not my pick.
Yeah.
So, what's the serial rating of the B version of the trade?
I just don't love this draft, and I especially don't love being at the top of this draft as much as I do having the chance to be at the top of the 2021 draft twice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, if the first version is Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and the second version is, I mean, probably Fruity Pebbles. 10 minutes pretend after you pour the milk, Fruity Pebbles. Where it's just
pretend
like a little...
I know what those are.
You don't know what Fruity Pebbles are?
You don't know what Fruity Pebbles
No, we don't have those cereals. We have standard Kellogg's. We have like rice chocolate. Like we have Cheerios.
Rice chocolate?
Rice!
Rice! Like rice. I don't know. I don't know how to translate. I don't even know the names.
Those are Cocoa Pebbles.
Cocoa Pebbles. Right?
Cocoa Pebbles.
Okay. I don't eat cereals. I don't make breakfast. I just have a black coffee for breakfast since, I don't know, 3 years. And cereals are gone in my house since I was 10.
All right. Two things. Number one, I really enjoy that we're framing this as if it's a lost in translation thing. But I think it's possible that Michele just doesn't know what cereal is.
No, like,
I think it's plausible that like they're actually called Cocoa Pebbles in Italy, and Michele just saw them. It's like, those rice chocolates.
No. The brand is Kellogg's.
Yeah, is it the same? Kellogg's. Yeah.
It's the same. Yeah, it's we the have same. Like a lot of variation of that, like with little piece of chocolate, or with frosting or stuff like that. But I hate cereals. Like, I can eat them, but this is not my thing. It's not my breakfast. Again, I don't have breakfast. That's probably why. Sometimes I eat them when I'm
in
hotels
like breakfast?
Or.
Dude, the breakfast.
I do intermittent fasting, I cannot have breakfast. It's just coffee for me. Espresso, not coffee. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the best. I have a third. I know. I will probably kick out from Down to Dunk after this. But
no, I've got a lot of things to think about.
Yeah. Well, maybe. If you send me some cinnamon crunch. Sorry, yes, and I, well, maybe I'll change my mind. I don't know.
Okay, I need to do that. I've actually told you I do that, and I haven't done it. I need to do that.
So third trade with the Warriors. It's not Chris Paul. Do you think that the Warriors will be interesting in the Dennis Schroeder Adams pairing if they can get off the Wiggins contract?
So what's the trade? What did the Thunder get back?
A future pick. Those are not quite good, like as good as Chris Paul, so you don't get the Minnesota pick, but you might get a 2023 lightly protected Golden State pick. Like 2023 top three protected that rolls 2 years and then becomes, if you want to be on the high side, unprotected, if you don't want, 2 second rounders.
So guys, I'll be honest. This is some bad podcasting coming up. I did not hear the trade you said because I was busy looking up some Italian history. And I'm just letting you know, since 1963, Cocoa Krispies in Italy have gone by Cocoa Pops.
Woo!
Okay.
Cocoa Pops. Yay!
Wait, didn't you call them rice chocolates?
Yeah, but then I don't know. No, at a certain point, and you can go back and listen. Call them Coco Pops. Yeah, I just didn't know if like. I don't know if you knew the name, and you didn't. So yeah. I tried to say rice, chocolate rice. Yeah. I don't know.
Since 1963, there've been Coco Pops in Italy and a slew of other European countries, and not just Europe. I mean, South Africa and Kenya as well.
Wow!
Really?
So,
Fred, your Coco Pops
focus on my trade. All right, Wiggins and a top 5 or top 3 protected 2022 pick from the Warriors, together with Looney and whatever salary you need to add for Adams and Dennis Schroeder. Is it better or worse?
What are the picks again?
2023 top 3 or top 5 protected, well, lightly protected, that rolls at least 2 years and then turns either into unprotected if you want to be really aggressive, or 2 second rounders if you think that you're giving up too much.
That's interesting because quite honestly, I haven't put that much thought into a Steven Adams trade, just because I haven't been able to think of one that makes sense. Like, he's a weird expiring contract situation where, like, he still has value on court and off court for the Thunder. But I struggle. I mean, he just wouldn't have the value, even close to the value that his contract would say that he should anywhere else. So I guess the way an Adams trade probably would work would be them using him just as an expiring to take on a big deal and get a pick.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That's interesting. I think I'm not saying you're wrong. That's an interesting deal because, as you can tell, I do not value the Wiggins contract. Like, I think the Wiggins contract is a lot more detrimental. Like, people have this weird thing where they say, well, they got the Wiggins contract, now they can match on salaries for a superstar. It's like, everyone can match on salaries for a superstar. Nobody wants to take on a 3-year max contract for a guy who well underperforms it. Like, it's such a weird thing. They think it's an asset to acquire a superstar. So that's interesting. I don't know what Adams does for the Warriors, other than just like gives them a big body and somebody so that Draymond doesn't have to play center, like high stress minutes at center throughout the regular season. I think the Warriors probably have higher aspirations than that with the Wiggins still, but I don't. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the on-court fit is not smooth, but the screening of Adams in a spread environment could be useful.
Yeah.
And you can reasonably play, if you have Steven Adams and Draymond Green, you can even play Schroeder, Curry, and Clay together. Maybe not against LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but also because against Anthony Davis and LeBron James, because Draymond Green can guard LeBron James, and Adams can try to guard Anthony Davis. So I think that having a guy like Steven Adams that can be helpful in a series, and you can, with that team, you can bench him and say, well, this series is not for you.
Also, Steven Adams isn't going to care about that.
Yeah, I know.
It's not a safe thing.
I know. It was never a Steven Adams problem, but just a Billy Donovan problem with OKC. And this trade, you can even keep Looney and just absorb Dennis in the Iguodala trade exception. So it works straight up, Wiggins and Adams, especially if Adams renounced the trade kicker, because that, I think, would be something that will be discussed, because he has like a 15% trade kicker. But in any case, those two salary match almost to perfection. So I think that you basically give up one pick that you have to give up anyway if you want to get rid of the Wiggins salary, and you get two players that I think can help you in the future. For OKC, you probably get a very good pick, because like Adams and Dennis Schroeder, probably they don't give you an unprotected pick in the future, or a lightly protected pick in the future that can be good, because Golden State can be awesome for the next 10 years or awful in 2024. And so this was basically the idea behind it.
Has Steven Adams aged worse than any player in the league?
Dude, like, I know. Yeah,
he's the same age as Buddy, up-and-comer Buddy Hield, you know? Like, yeah. It's crazy.
I think
he's
younger.
He's 27.
Yeah. Buddy Hield is 1992.
I mean, people have used the phrase Steven Adams as breaking down. Like, people have said that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I agree with that, and maybe I do agree with that. I don't know. But here's the deal. McKelly, this is a grape nuts trade. I don't want to see Steven Adams in a Warriors uniform. I hate that. I hate every part of it. I don't want to see that. After getting kicked in the nuts by a Warrior over and over again.
Literally grape nuts.
This is grape nuts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have grape nuts?
I don't hold grudge. No, I don't hold grudge.
Well, so. I'll tell you what, they're not grapes and they're not nuts. So good luck figuring them out.
Yep. This is not chocolate rice. These are not grape nuts.
Let me see what grape nuts are.
With Adams, you know, it's weird. I think Steven Adams is here's a weird talk radio heady take. Steven Adams' toughness has hurt his career. Because everyone talks about how he's indestructible. That guy's indestructible. How many times do you hear that? He gets punched in the face. Oh, that guy's indestructible. He gets hit by a train. You're like, I feel bad for the train, you know? Mm-hmm. And then every single time anything happens, he's indestructible. But, like, he's a human being, so he's not. Mm-hmm. And it has clearly – the way he plays has clearly had – an effect on him. Also, when I wrote that story about him playing in the same shoes, one of the comment him trying to play in the same pair of shoes every night, one of the commenters made a cogent comment of like, which I didn't even think about when I was writing the story, which was is anybody else concerned that our young $100 million starting center has such bad knees and feet that if he doesn't play in these particular shoes, he's screwed. I was like,
yeah. It's true. The Adams contract is tough. He is obviously still a helpful, productive player, but he gets to the end of every year. And I thought the bubble would be different because he started the bubble very well.
Yeah. And
in the playing games, he was very good. You get to the playoffs and he's a replacement level center when in that Houston series. He just didn't make the impact that you would have hoped that he could have against a really small lineup.
Is this a byproduct of the lineup he played in more so than his actual production in general?
You tell me. What do you think?
I think it's both. And it's probably more so the numbers, the advanced number were so bad for both Dort and Adams when they played together. But for some reason, Dort, for the 30-point game and for the awesome defense he played against Harden, like rightfully so, those numbers are not really discussed. For Adams, it's, wow, look at the net rating. Yeah, it was bad. But if you take the best lineup they played in the regular season and you give that lineup more time, I don't think that the rating are quite as bad. And also, like for any center, playing against the Rockets is hard. And Anthony Davis, for I don't care how much like people say this, Anthony Davis is not the true center. When you go small and you have Anthony Davis at the center, you're not really going small. He's like a superstar. So for regular centers that are between the 10th and the 20th best center in the league, which is probably the level Adams is in, playing against the Rockets is a nightmare, especially if you don't have spacing around you. Because if you put spacing around Adams and you run just spread pick and roll against the Rockets and you try to lure a double team and you have then Steven Adams with space, not double, then you can do stuff. Against the Rockets, it was immediately double team because you allow yourself to be beaten by Lou Dort and Shea from three. Mm-hmm. And even with that, OKC was a PJ Tucker floater from winning it.
Yeah.
So I don't hold grudge too much for the playoffs that he had, but I agree that his value is not at 26 million. I remember where I was when I heard the news about his contract, and I said, well, this will be too much in the future. I didn't know how much, but I hoped for like 20 flat, something like that, yeah. Which is still too much today, but
it is,
but way better. If you rethink about it.
I mean, if he could have just even moved like he did in 2016, in the 2016 playoffs, throughout the playoffs in 17, 18, 19, 20.
Yeah.
Then I don't know that it's as egregious. But the fact is, like, he gets to the playoffs every year and it's like, oh, where's Steven Adams? I mean, as Cantor outplayed him in last year's playoffs.
Yeah, but like, try to be back with your memory for a bit. In those playoffs, He looked sparkly and quick against the very old Spurs team.
Yeah.
The next round, the great lineups against the Warriors were not the one with Steven Adams was playing.
Yeah,
with Ibaka. Even Kanter was in game six. Kanter had the best net rating of the team.
Yeah.
Or stuff like that. So I wonder if Steven Adams was just a 2016 player who deserved a big contract from what we saw in the regular season, and he just got overpaid. And yeah, it's simple as that. He was,
yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. When I was looking for somebody to hire for my team, I had to go to LinkedIn Jobs because you just don't know the quality of these candidates. And the good thing about LinkedIn Jobs, it kind of helps you filter through and find the best people. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals that you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/dunk. That's linkedin.com/dunk to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay. The trade number three is depressing to me. It's the New York Knicks trade. Just pick a collection
of
players.
This is not depressing. To me, it's glorious.
Wait. I want to know if you think the Knicks are going to give up 3 or 4 first round picks.
No, I don't think the Knicks will have to pay because they will give you no bad contracts. And right. This is something immensely helpful. If they give you Randall and Payton and Kevin Knox and whoever they need to make the salary work, and they give you the Clippers 2020 pick and the second round picks from Charlotte, which is 28th and 30th. I think the starting offer will be like that. And maybe if you really have other options, they will give you the 8th pick. But I'm not sure. Probably before that, they will go 2020 Clippers and 2021 Mavericks.
I'll tell you what. Mm-hmm. If the Thunder make a Chris Paul trade with the Knicks, which is, I mean, they're the favorites, I think. They're the favorites to end up with Chris Paul. Wouldn't you be shocked if the Knicks didn't come away with, or the Thunder didn't come away with Frank Ntilikina in that deal?
Yeah, but I mean, I know that he sounds like a Thunder player.
Not just that, the Knicks are out on him. I don't think it would. I don't think it would change the deal at all from the Knicks perspective. Well, granted, we don't know how this front office thinks, but it, historically, the Knicks are out on him.
Yeah.
And I don't think it would change the construction of a deal very much if Frank Ntilikina were thrown.
But you have to pay
same
him.
Thing maybe with Kevin
Knox. What do you pay
you
Frank Ntilikina?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to pay him.
Do you have to pay him?
Yeah.
What has he done to deserve, you know, having to get paid?
But that's the point. I mean, it's if it goes, these are the contracts that I rarely want to trade for. I mean, with Oladipo, it worked very well. But even with Oladipo, who ended up being a very useful player for the entire season, the contract seemed awful. When and you know that Presti, if he gets someone, he will likely extend him. And yeah, so I would rather have Kevin Knox, who I don't trust to be a very good player, but I have at least another year where I can just try, and I then have to negotiate a contract with him. And so I think that I don't know. I really don't know what the market will be with Chris Paul, but I think that the Knicks will make it work. They can start from one first rounder and one second rounder, both good, then add an extra first rounder before they even talk eight. Because I think that the Knicks should take the guy at eight, because it will be a good role player, and they don't have to give him up because they have other stuff. They have extra assets in the future that they can, those are reasonably good assets, but not awesome. And so I think that they have enough to get Chris Paul if they want.
You feel like you've seen enough with Ntilikina though? You were one of the biggest Ntilikina supporters in the draft.
I know. I really liked him. Probably he will be okay on the court. I'm not saying that he will not be productive. He was in a very bad situation, though. And if you are for too much, you just miss some development window. Mm-hmm. Your development at age 20 is not equal to the development you have at age 22, 23, 24. It's just true. And maybe Ntilikina has something else. But I had different hopes, and I don't know if he's in that trajectory anymore.
Sure.
I still think he could turn in. I still love the way he defends.
Yeah.
He is such a pest. And I agree with you completely about everything you just said in terms of, like, eventually when you're in a bad situation, a lot of times guys just build up habits and some of them are really bad, or maybe they break their confidence or whatever it might be. That being said, I don't think it would take very much for the Thunder to get him. I would try to bring in, I mean, I think he has a better chance of being, I'm more in on him than I am on Kevin Knox.
Sure. But
even,
I have a place.
Even knowing the contract situations, just because, like, I am out on Kevin Knox. Like, if maybe I'm wrong, but if Kevin Knox is in New York, then I am out on him enough that, like, I am on the moon. Like, I am so far away.
But you have 32 minutes available for Kevin Knox. You don't have those minutes for Ntilikina. If you want to play some sort of organized basketball and you want to give Lou Dort minutes. I see Ntilikina as a guy who plays the same role as Lou Dort. I want Lou Dort to be more of a handler in the future. I want to try to develop him as a secondary ball handler or the guy who leads my second unit, my awesome second unit. And so if I have Ntilikina, he has to play kind of the same role. And Kevin Knox, I mean, I know everything you said is right about him, but I can give him 35 minutes to prove me wrong. I probably can with Ntilikina, but I'm sacrificing some of the minutes that I want to give to Dort.
What if he's just your backup point guard, though? What if he's just your backup point guard?
I don't think Ntilikina is a point guard.
You're tanking, and it doesn't matter. You just try it.
Yeah, but you know what? That comes back to even when you're tanking, you still want to put guys in the roles that you see them being successful in the future because you're building up.
If you don't want to pay Ntilikina, I mean, honestly, if he's not a backup point guard and you already have Dort, then you don't want him anyways.
Yeah, that's why.
I can just see if he can be a backup point guard. I agree with Fred that I think that Ntilikina will be a player in the league. And I just don't. Kevin Knox could be out of the league in the next few years.
Yeah, maybe my reasoning is too simple, but I understand that you might have to give him. I don't think you're going to have to pay him an exorbitant amount. I don't think the restricted market for him will be gigantic. And if you extend him, I imagine it's a very team-friendly extension. Mm-hmm. All that being said, maybe I'm being too simple, but for me, it's if when you are rebuilding, if you think this, if this guy is young and you have an opportunity to bring him in for virtually nothing and you think he's going to turn into a good player, I don't really care about the fit. If I trust my organizational trust, my culture, and I trust my coaching staff's ability to identify what roles guys are good at and cultivate talent, then I want that guy under my roof. Even if he's just like, you know, I think this guy could be a good seventh, eighth man and defend like crazy for 18 to 25 minutes, depending on the team, which is kind of what I think Ntilikina is going to be. But I think he's a hell of a defender. Yeah. And I understand. I mean, you're 100% right about the redundancies with Dort. I'm not disagreeing with you at all.
I understand.
He's still young, and if you think he could be a decent player, I would just try to get him under my roof if it didn't change the construction of the Knicks trade at all.
Yeah, that's the point. I think it will. You have to suppose that you have Ntilikina or pick number 31 in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
That's more of a conversation.
But that's to me is why I didn't put him, because I would have removed one of the picks, because I think that the Knicks would say, well, yeah, we don't want him, but I might get an asset for him. Mm-hmm. Because I think that if someone offers an early second round pick, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jeremy Lamb was worth 2 second round picks.
Yeah.
So, okay. Do you want the mystery trade or the boring Lakers trade?
Let's go boring Lakers and end. Let's go boring Lakers and then end with the mystery trade.
The mystery trade is not super spectacular, but I think there is a sleeper team that can use Chris Paul, and I'm not sure how much he has been discussed. I think you can construct the Lakers trade in multiple ways. The way I see is, I don't think OKC cares about Kuzma, about Danny Green, about KCP. So you have to find, this will never happen. This is the unlikeliest trades of among the ones that I proposed tonight. So, but I think it makes sense. So the Lakers get just Chris Paul. Golden State absorb Danny Green in the trade exception of Iguodala, just like that. No assets needed.
Mm-hmm.
Then Minnesota gets McGee and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. OKC gets Caruso, Johnson, Quinn Cook, the Lakers 2020 after the draft, and a couple of second rounders.
It's kind of gross to me for OKC.
It is.
It is gross. Also, it's contingent on KCP agreeing to a sign-in trade to go to Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah, but the playing time will be there. I'm not sure he'll be opposed to that.
Yeah, he just was close.
It's not the signing three; he just has to
finals team.
I'm assuming he's not picking up his player option.
Oh, he will. It's 8 million. It's 8 million. Yeah, that could be a wink-wink situation where you agree and you get extended or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You have your bird right. He's bird.
It's okay. Right. We don't need to ruin the exercise by arguing about whether or not KCP is picking up a player option.
Yeah, maybe you get another first round pick for Minnesota in the future, highly protected instead of the second rounder.
Yeah,
because like James Johnson is really a sucky contract, like 15 million is just, and maybe I don't think you get much more from Golden State. It is a second rounder with value because it's the 31st. Pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically get 3 late picks for Chris Paul. It's not bad. It's not like good, but it's something. And you don't get anything bad.
Yeah.
It's okay.
The, you gave me such a juicy, juicy asset with the 2021 pick at the beginning of this, though. I'm going off of that on all of these. And so to me, it's...
Yeah, but these are real. Like, these are, I think, the outcome that you can expect.
Were you feeding me fake things before?
No. Like, suppose that there is no market and Golden State and the Lakers are the only team that says, well, yes, we will take the contract and we'll do whatever we need.
Mm-hmm.
You can even get Kuzma if you need. Like, if you want Kuzma, I think in the trade like that, you can get Kuzma.
Yeah. I like Kuzma. I just don't like him on the Thunder. I don't like him as a rebuilding guy.
Andrew, can I ask you a question about this?
Mm-hmm.
If the Thunder acquired Caruso, you think they would bring back Samaje to play over him?
For sure. They demote him to the blue. They bring back Samaje. Hey, but they bring back Ronnie Price just for good measure and cut him too.
3-year deal.
Yeah, 3-year deal. Yeah, thanks, but no thanks.
Would it be better if you get like a future pick from the Lakers way ahead in the future?
Yeah.
A swap.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
What? It will not be unprotected. So what's the protection here?
Top three protected 2024, 2025.
I don't think they have it available. It's going to be 2026. Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Great. Take it. I'll take that. I will take that over what?
Okay.
The first, yeah. Top three protected 2026.
Yeah, it's better than 2020 for sure. Yes, yeah. that I think it's okay.
Yeah, because pretty much all these players will be dead anyways by then, so that's good.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it'll be really interesting for someone who covers the Thunder to talk to Pat Williams, who ran the 76ers. He was the GM of the 76ers when they drafted Barkley. Yeah. And Pat Williams was running the Sixers from like the late 70s on. And he was like the first guy to decide, you know what? I'm just going to trade for picks that are super, super in the future. And nobody else. And like everybody panned him at the time. So like he traded World Be Free for a Clippers first round pick like 6 years into the future, which then I believe became the Barkley pick. Yeah. And like made all of these like future draft pick trades. And he was the guy to popularize like future picks where everyone was like, that's nothing. That's 6 years in the future. You're drafting eighth graders. This is ridiculous. And got panned for all of them. And now like I feel like Sam Presti is taken on. Obviously it's happened many times since, but I feel like Sam Presti is feeling the same way. Like I feel like the Thunder with the way that they structured the Houston deal and the Clippers deal, like they are totally cool taking a 2025, 2026 first round pick.
You get 2026. I mean, is LeBron playing in 2026?
No, it's right. I mean,
probably.
Again, I tried to be
honestly. It is a question to ask.
I mean, like in 2026, LeBron will be 41. I don't know. Yeah. Like Tom Brady is still going strong.
Yeah. Yeah. So last trade, because it's really late. Suppose that Golden State doesn't want Chris Paul, which is fair. I mean, I'm not sure it is the type of player that they need. Would they be more interested in a guy like CJ McCollum?
Golden State?
I had a CJ McCollum Chris Paul thing. So I'm excited about this.
It's just, I think that Chris, like CJ, could be better for Golden State than Chris Paul in some sense.
Yeah.
Because you can probably leverage his off-ball skills more. He's a little bit taller, even if he's not a better defender. But maybe they just want more of a sure thing player in terms of health, in terms of length of the contract. And so the trade is Damian Lillard gets to play with Chris Paul. I don't know if he wants to, but I think that he gives Portland a bump. He can play with Banana Boat Carmelo Anthony because they will re-sign him. And OKC still gets the Minnesota pick, Andrew Wiggins, and the corpse of poor Rodney Hood that makes the trade work.
I love this. This is the least realistic deal, but I think so too.
I
kind of love this. It makes sense.
Yeah. Also, the Warriors are the most media friendly team in the history of the NBA.
Yeah. And they can get, like, they can get another good player, like Dennis Schroeder, another asset, just with the Iggy trade, if they want to spend like a gazillion money in salary just for one season. Because if they, like the sign and trade, I was thinking about Gallo, who makes a lot of sense for the Warriors. Mm-hmm. It just cannot happen because they would be hard cut.
Really hard to do.
And so either Gallo signs like a 15, 16 million deal with OKC for 3 years, and then they trade him by the deadline or as soon as they can. So this is the scenario where someone does a wink-wink deal. Well, yeah, you sign Gallo, but he will be off. And then Gallo makes sense for them. Otherwise, I think that they will not get into the sign and trade bonanza, because it's you cannot be our cap with those salaries.
Right. No, I like that. I mean, anything to get you another crack at a 2021 lottery pick is what the Thunder should do. If they have a chance to do that with Chris Paul, you have to do it. You have to do it. And especially if you get back Andrew Wiggins is not going to hurt your chances of being a bottom 10 team. He actually might help you. If you're like, hey, let's give him 20 possessions. Who cares? Take them.
Exactly.
Take them all.
Exactly.
If you shoot 38%, even better. Good job,
man. I don't think the shooting will be a problem with Wiggins. I think that the other things, like the consistency on defense, the lapses, the inability to play organized basketball, that is by far the thing. Yeah, I mean, I would pick Wiggins like in other types of basketball.
Yeah.
When you have to play at a high level, I'm not saying that he's a bad player at all.
He's a bad player. I'm just saying he's unable to play organized basketball.
At the NBA level, at a high NBA level, this is, of course, what I'm thinking. Like, he would not be able to play in a system like the one that Miami runs.
No way.
I don't think that he will be capable
of. He plays a very simplistic game.
Yeah.
A very simplistic game.
He
does one or two things and that's about it, and everything else is a negative.
Yeah. Yeah, is worse version of Rudy Gay or something like that.
Oh yeah, Rudy Gay's good.
Yeah, but he is in the same boat as player that will never make you win a game.
Yeah.
Like non-loser TJ Warren that apparently scored 50 in a meaningless series of game, but overall, he will probably not help you winning all that much. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know that Portland wants to do a deal like that, but I think that the pairing of Dame and CJ has an expiration date, and trying with Chris Paul is not a bad try.
Yeah. They need to do something different, certainly.
Yeah.
For the Blazers.
I wonder what that
CJ could is be. Really good.
I think
CJ
that's really good.
Yeah. Maybe.
Is CJ the best player in the league who's never made an All-Star game?
No. Not sure. Did Conley made one?
Well, no. I think CJ is better than Conley now. I was thinking today, like current. I think I was thinking like currently not the best ever. Like the guy who is currently the best in the league who's never made an All-Star game. I feel like he's
Dort?
I feel like he's got to be really high in that conversation.
Jamal Murray?
Yeah, I mean he's too early, so he's too early, so he's disqualified. Like,
not rookie scale deal guys.
Yeah, like Zion doesn't count in this conversation. Ja Morant doesn't count in this conversation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then probably is one of the one of the best. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if Portland wants another asset together with Chris Paul. Would you give him the OKC pick in this deal?
25?
I don't think.
No. This one. The Denver. Yes. 25. Yes.
Yeah.
I thought you said.
I don't think. I really. What do you guys, Andrew? What
and
do you
Terrence
think is
Ferguson?
The likelihood?
And Terrence Ferguson, as always.
What do you think is the likelihood that OKC, I mean, we could talk about it in this one, but also I'm just curious in general. What do you think is the likelihood that OKC gives up a pick in the Chris Paul trade? And what is the scenario? Because I think it's really low. Mm-hmm. And let's even say a follow-up to that before you even answer it. A great interviewing strategy, by the way. Just ask follow-ups before the people answer the question. Interrupt as much as possible. Let's say I present you with a situation, because I could read your facial expression and say there's no way they give up a pick in a Chris Paul trade. Mm-hmm. Let's say I'm presenting you. I'm telling you OKC gave up a pick in the Chris Paul trade. That happened. They just gave up a pick in the Chris Paul trade. What did they get back?
Yeah, they get back what they think is for sure another lottery pick.
Yeah. Which is the only way. Happens in this scenario.
Which is the only way. Yeah. If you can get a 2021 or 2022, what looks like to be a lottery pick. Mm-hmm. If you somehow ended up with a Kings pick, or if you ended up with this Minnesota pick, then I think, okay. Yep.
Would you keep up 2021st from Miami?
Yeah. Yeah. To get a shot at a lottery pick, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is why I think that trades like this one may happen, where you have to give up your pick or one of your future picks in order to acquire. Like, for example, the 2020 pick from Golden State. I think that if they ask you, well, you will give me a future pick, you probably can do that. You're in a position to say, well, if I know that the person that I like at 20, at number two is there, mm-hmm. I think that you can. It's not like a giving up is swapping, trading a pick for another one,
yeah.
Which is not something that happens in general. Like you don't trade one pick for the other, but it happens, like the Tatum deal. Or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
So
it happens. Well, Mikaeli, thanks for the trades. There was some Cinnamon Toast Crunch in there. There was some rice puff chocolates, or what, I don't remember what you call it. But
rice chocolates.
There's some chocolate pops. There's some chocolate pops in there as well. We appreciate you guys listening to the show. Make sure that you follow Mikaeli on Twitter at Mikey Berra. Follow Fred at Fred Katz. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew K. Schlecht. Hope you guys have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys again on Wednesday.